Genesis chapter 49. Last Sunday was our anniversary Sunday, and we stepped away from the study, and we've been looking at each one of the sons of Jacob in this final benediction. And we've worked our way down to verse 21. Now, as you take your Bibles, notice with me the first two verses there in Genesis 49. The Bible says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, hearken unto Israel, your father." And we've worked our way through each one of the boys, and we have been looking at some of those in this final benediction. Some of those are prophetic. Some of those are simply character statements about those sons. And we've learned a number of things here. We looked at Reuben, and the title for Reuben was, if you turn the page in verse 4, unstable as water. That is what describes Reuben. Simeon and Levi, in verse 5, were instruments of cruelty. Verse 8, Judah, he is called again a lion's whelp, but the emphasis here that he is the greatest that Jacob would produce, humanly speaking, until Shiloh come, which is a reference to Christ. Zebulun shall be a haven in verse 13. Issachar, verse 14, is the picture of a servant. Verse 16, Dan shall judge his people. Gad, a troop, shall overcome, but he shall overcome at the last. And Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. And we come to Naphtali. And notice verse 21, if we read it together, Genesis 49, 21, everybody there? Let's read it together. Naphtali is a hind let loose, he giveth goodly words. Naphtali is a hind let loose, he giveth goodly words. Now, we have been going back, as we've looked at this, every time I've gone back first back to Genesis 30, where we find the birth of each one of those sons. I will do that in just a moment. And we have considered how each one of the sons has been named. And if you remember, a lot of the names are given in conjunction with the circumstances that Leah and Rachel were going through in the names of each son, and there's a word that is closely associated with each one of those names. And Naphtali, we'll look at him in just a moment, but as we think about Naphtali, we read, Naphtali is a hind let loose, he giveth goodly pearls. In this message, I would like to go about it a little different way. Now, there is really certainly, as we look at each one of those sons, we can think about and go to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and then Joshua 19 when the portion of the land is divided into each one of the sons. And we could make reference to the prophetic nature of the blessing that would be expounded by Moses in Genesis 33 and then it practically divided in Joshua 19. But I'm more interested in what is said here about Naphtali. Because not much is said about, if you would, the fruit of the land or anything like that that is said about other brothers or about the portion of land and what that means for them. But Naphtali, the Bible calls him, or Jacob calls him, a hind. So before we go and we talk and deal with this verse, I want to consider the scripture and think about the hind, which is the female deer. In the Bible language, you find there's a hart, a roe, a hind. Those are all pretty much synonymous, but the hind refers to the female deer. Now, Jacob, in this chapter, has likened a number of his sons to animals to reveal, I believe, their strength and their character. For example, of Judah, he said, he is like a lion. Of Issachar, he is like an ass. Of Dan, he is like a serpent, and now Naphtali, like a hind. Now, in verse number 8, in reference to Judah, the Bible says, verse 9, Judah is a lion's whelp. In verse 14 of Issachar, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And now we come to verse 21, and the Bible says, Naphtali is a hind let loose. Now, the other animal references give us a little more text to work on. Unfortunately, here in Naphtali, well, I wouldn't say unfortunately, this is the scripture, so it's all there. All we need is right there. But there's less to work with. Let's just put it that way. But I want to concentrate on the animal reference, as it pertains to Naphtali, and I believe it'll be significant before we come and study our text. So by way of introduction, as we think about Naphtali, I would like for us to get an understanding about how the hind is used in Scripture. There are three distinct references to the hind in the Old Testament. I would like for us to focus on each one of those, references, to see what we can learn about the hind and what would cause Jacob to refer to Naphtali as a hind let loose. The first one that I want to look at is, and let me sum up all three of them. We're going to look at a hind's affection, a hind's position, and thirdly, at a hind's fruitfulness. Now, there are more than three scriptures that refer to the hind, but I would say there are three classifications in reference to the hind. Let's look at the first one, and for that, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 5. Let's try to establish a few truths in the Bible concerning the hind as it is used in Scripture. So Proverbs chapter 5, if you turn there in Proverbs chapter 5, and notice with me verse 18 and 19. Now, what I want to do as we consider the hind is to consider each one of those references in their context and think about the subject matter that is being addressed. In Proverbs chapter 5, there is a warning against the allurement of the strange woman. And this is basically about a husband's love for his wife, and it deals with that affection. Now, so notice Proverbs 5, notice verse 18. Chapter 5, notice verse 18. Let thy fountains be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. So that is the verse. Now notice, verse 19 is a continuation of verse 18. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Now, if we keep reading, verse 20, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. And so we find here this reference in Proverbs 5, refers to a husband's love for his wife, and it is a warning not to go after the strange woman, but to be satisfied with his love for his wife. And so I would put this classification reference to the hind here. It refers to the hind's affection as we read the words in verse 19. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. If you go over to the Song of Solomon, we're still in this classification as far as a hind's affection. If you go with me to Song of Solomon, and notice here in chapter 2, Song of Solomon chapter 2, notice with me verse 7. The Bible says, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. And again in chapter 3, notice verse 5. I charge you, ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the mines of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. In the Song of Solomon here, we find a warning against a wife's love for her husband. She does not want her behavior to cause any animosity with her husband. And so here it deals with a wife's love for her husband. Proverbs deals with a husband's love for his wife. Song of Solomon deals with a wife's love for her husband. So we find here the hinds, we're going somewhere, so just hang on, all right? We find here a hind's affection. The subject of those references is love. If you go over with me to now the book of 2 Samuel, and we're going to deal with a hind's position. Notice with me in 2 Samuel, and go with me to chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And notice with me down to verse 34. David here, if we go back to the beginning of the chapter, if you take a glance at the first verse there of chapter 22, the Bible says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." That's the context. And so David is going to speak the words of this song, and we work our way down to verse 34. And before we reach verse 34, verse 28, notice, gives us a little bit of the context. Verse 28 says, "And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down." And so he's talking here about the afflicted people thou wilt save. And now we come to verse 34. He says verse 33, "God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect." In verse 34, "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places." So here we're thinking about a hind's position. The position of the hind is his feet are set on high places, and David is referring to himself that God, basically in his affliction, is setting David up on high places, even though he is being afflicted. Now, if you go over with me to the book of Habakkuk now, Habakkuk chapter 3. That is a book, it's in the Old Testament. So notice here with me, Habakkuk chapter 3. And we find here the prayer of Habakkuk. Now, that was interesting because in 2 Samuel 22, it was the song or the words that David spake of the song he sang unto the Lord. Habakkuk 3 is Habakkuk's prayer unto the Lord. Notice in verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, and he's going to pray, notice, throughout this chapter. And in the context, verse 19, he is speaking about trembling. Notice verse Habakkuk 3, verse 16. "When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up to the people, he will invade them with his troops." Verse 17, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." Barrenness, nothingness. And so Habakkuk is trembling. Verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." Yet, despite all this, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Verse 19, "The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like," what? "Hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments." Now, David was a song. That's another song, the prayer of Habakkuk. But the idea is, my feet will be at as hinds' feet, set up in high places. There's one more reference found in Psalm 18. Let's turn, if you would, with me to Psalm 18. Psalm chapter 18, a psalm of David. This would be in this classification as to a hind's position. The feet are set on high places. Notice in Psalm 18, as the psalm of David here, the context is again the afflicted people of God in verse 27. Notice Psalm 18, verse 27. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. And by the time we read down, notice verse 27. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. Verse 28, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. So the first classification of the hind, if you would, it's the hind's affection. The second classification is the hind's position. There's something about the deer that is set and abiding on high places. I should not share all my hunting experiences, but typically a deer like to have the higher ground. They like to, before they go to a field, they like to inspect the field. They're very skittish. They're very reserved. They don't just waltz into a field and start strutting around, except when it's during the time of the year when they're all excited. But you find here that during that they inspect the field, they like to take the high ground and to look and inspect. They like to be in a place of safety, and so that's what we see about the hinds. The hinds' affection, the love, the hinds' position, where the feet are placed. But thirdly, there's a third classification, and that is the hind's fruitfulness. And for that, we have to go to Job chapter 39. Now, as you turn to Job 39, I think, know very well the context here. If you remember, beginning in Job 38, God begins to speak with Job. And as God speaks with Job, he continues to repeat to Job, "When I did this, Job, where were you? Where were you when I did this, when I created the universe?" All the things that he lists. And then we come to chapter 39. Notice verse 1. "Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calf?" When they bring forth their young. He's telling Job, do you know, canst thou mark when the hinds, do you know when it's time for the hind to bring forth her calf? Can you usher in that process? Do you know all about it? And obviously Job has to say no. But here he's talking here about the hinds of fruitfulness. If you go with me to Psalm 29, you find again the hinds calf mentioned in Psalm 29. Psalm 29 is all about the Lord. Now, interesting. Job 38 and 39 is all about the Lord. Job, where were you when I did this? And so God is exalting himself in the presence of Job so that Job has an exalted view of God, because Job cannot be involved in the affairs of men. Or Job cannot be involved in the affairs of God. It is God that does it. And notice in Psalm 29 verse 9, the Bible says, "The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory." Now, this whole chapter there in Psalm 29 is all about giving thanks unto the Lord, the mighty God. Verse 2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." Verse 4, "The voice of the Lord is powerful." Verse 5, "The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars." Verse 6, "He maketh them also to skip like a calf." Verse 8, "The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire." And so this is all an exaltation of God, just as Job 38 and 39 was. And now we see a reference to the hind's calf. There's one more reference, and that is found in Jeremiah 14. If you turn there to the book of Jeremiah, we're flipping around there, chapter 14. Jeremiah 14. In this chapter, the context of Jeremiah 14 is the judgment of God upon Judah and the southern kingdom of Israel. And if we were to read verse 1 down to verse 10, we find this judgment explained. Notice Jeremiah 14:1, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth, Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black upon the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and cover their heads, because the ground is chapped. For there is no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed and they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto this people. Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sin. So what are we talking about here in Jeremiah 14? We're talking about the judgment of God upon the people who have forsaken God. And what is said about the hinds that calve? They said that they leave their young. Why? Because there's no grass. They can't provide. In other words, their fruitfulness is gone. The reference in Psalm 29 is all about the greatness of God and what God does. Job 39 is all about the greatness of God and what God does. But when man turns from God, God takes away his blessing. He takes away the fruitfulness of the land. He takes away the fruitfulness of the hind. So there are three types of references to the hind in the Old Testament. The first one refers to a hind's affection, a husband's love for his wife, a wife's love for her husband. The second reference is a hind's position, where the hind's feet is set up on a high place, just as God set up David on high places despite his affliction, just as God set up his people, according to Habakkuk, in high places despite the land's barrenness. And then the hind's fruitfulness, how God is the one who blesses, how God is the one who makes fruitful. But as soon as man turns away from him, fruitfulness departs. So let's go back now that we've covered the references of the hind. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 49 and look at Naphtali. The Bible says that Naphtali is a hind let loose. And the Bible then says, he giveth goodly words. I just came across a video, and I was, I don't know how I came across it, but it was animals breaking into houses. Well, they weren't, I guess, by accident, but there was different types of animals, snakes, crocodiles, bears, and even deer. And what was interesting is, and this kind of boggled my mind as I was thinking about this passage, because here we're dealing with a hind that is let loose. That means that the idea of the passage is that the hind, that deer, is in a snare, is trapped, is in a struggle, is not free. Now, what's interesting, I was watching those videos and the different animals. You know what the most destructive animal was? It was the deer. Now, I know you're shocked. The snake, the crocodile, the bear. As a matter of fact, I looked and this was quite funny. The bear, there's a video of the bear walking in the kitchen, and literally the bear stands up, opens the fridge door, and starts eating out of the refrigerator. And then he's done and he walks off and it's like, wow, there's a bear in the house, and he just opened the fridge and ate the fridge and he left as if he had been there before. But then there was that video of the deer that came in, and the deer ran into, basically it was a glass door, and the deer ran through that window, and the house was completely destroyed. You know why? Because the deer was caged in. The deer was not let loose. The deer was, if you would, surrounded and did not know where to do, and the whole house is a wreck. And so I'm thinking in my mind, well, the bear would seem to be the destroyer, right? No, the deer was. The whole house was wrecked. There's something here that we read about the hind, the deer. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. And this idea of the hind, right, is that the hind is a hind that loves. She loves the young, and the hind, the love of the hind is exemplified in the Word of God. The hind stands on high places where they can see afar off, and they have the skill to be able to go up to the mountain. And we find that the hind is also mentioned as calving and bringing her youngs forth, and that is representative of the blessing of God who brings fruitfulness to the hind. In other words, the hind is designed to do what God designed it to do. But Naphtali is a hind let loose. I want to notice three things about Naphtali. The first thing we notice is his struggle. You say, well, what are you talking about in his struggle? Well, the Bible says Naphtali is a hind let loose. You see, Naphtali here is pictured as a deer who has been caught in a trap or a snare, or who is caged in. Naphtali was wrestling with or struggling with a snare. Now let's go back to the reference of the birth of Naphtali. If you go back with me to Genesis chapter 30. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 1 and 2, there was a great struggle in the family of Jacob, and namely it was between Rachel and Leah. Remember, early on, Leah was despised, so God opened her womb, and she bore four sons. It was Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And then, notice we get to verse 30. So now, Leah has had four sons. Now we go to chapter 30, notice verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. You know what that was? There is a struggle right there. And said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. There was a great struggle going on within her. You see that two struggles? She envied her sister. She felt like dying. Struggle. Verse 2, and Jacob, as anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Now after that, notice verse 3. We have behold, my maid Bilhah, Rachel's maid, going unto her, and she shall bear unto my knees, that I may have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, for wife, and Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. But then notice the next son, and Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings, here's that word wrestlings, have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. So the reference here of Rachel is, there's been a great wrestling with my sister, and I've prevailed, and so she calls his name Naphtali. The name Naphtali means wrestling. The name means struggle. In other words, there was a struggle between Rachel and Leah at this point. Remember, Leah had conceived Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, four sons from Leah to Rachel's barrenness. This struggle was not some physical wrestling match. I think we all understand that, between Leah and Rachel. Rather, it was an inward struggle as described by the word envied. She envied Leah in verse number 1. The word envied means she was zealous, she was jealous, she was envious of her. It means that Rachel was provoked to jealousy of Leah's blessing of childbirth. She was so troubled with that. She was so envious that she wanted to die. Now, what is interesting here is that Rachel is still barren, but she, according to her, has children through Bilhah, her maid, as she gives them to her husband. But the name Naphtali means struggle. And as we think about Naphtali, the Bible says Naphtali is a hind let loose. And I'm thinking about a hind that is entrapped, that is imprisoned, that really cannot get out of a situation. Almost like Rachel. A Rachel who wanted to have a child. She wanted to bring children and sons to Jacob, but she could not. Remember, Jacob says, "Am I in the place of God? God is the one who's made you barren. And I'm not in God's stead." And because of that, Rachel had a struggle within. She was jealous towards her sister. She was ungrateful for her life. She wanted to die. And Naphtali, I believe, in a sense, represents the struggle of Rachel, but also, I believe it represents the struggle of every man. Have you ever struggled? Have you ever felt bound, troubled, and unable to change that? Naphtali, his name means wrestling. The Bible says is a hind let loose. The assumption of the verse is that Naphtali is a hind that has been snared, that has been trapped, and that is struggling. Just like that deer. And in that particular video, when that deer was running throughout the house, all the rooms looking for an exit, could not find the exit. The deer was actually jumping off the walls, didn't know where, panicking, didn't know where to go, what to do. It's funny because the alarm was going off and the police officers came in and says, "Put your hands up." And then it was a deer. So, "Oh no, it's a deer, put your hands down." And then they tried the best they could to try to escort the deer out of the house. Now what was interesting is, if you looked at that deer inside that house, it was just running everywhere. Didn't know where to go, what to do, bouncing off the walls. And then finally the deer came outside. You know what happened at that moment? The deer stopped. It was free. It stopped. It looked back. And then it calmly walked away. Why? Because it was free. Because now the deer could live as it was designed to live. The deer is not designed to live, to be caged in, to be surrounded, to be in a snare. It is designed to be free. And the truth is, when we struggle, what it all does to us, it puts us in a box, it puts us in a cage. When we are like Rachel and we become envious, we become jealous, we're struggling with something in our lives, what that does, it brings in a cage around us and we are not fulfilling the way that God wants us to live. We are entrapped, we are ensnared, and we can't get out. There's a wrestling match going on. So we find Naphtali, we see his struggle. But the second thing we find here, as we see it understood in this chapter 49, Naphtali, wrestling, struggle, is a hind let loose, tells us that he was ensnared. But now we turn, we not only look at his struggle, but secondly, we looked at his satisfaction. The Bible says Naphtali is a hind let loose. Now notice, the hind is let loose. She is free to live as she was created to live in satisfaction. And what is that? To love. To be on the high places. And to bring forth calves. That's what how God has created the hind. And now she can, because she has been let loose. She is free. If you go to the reference in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 23, the Bible says, "And Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord." That's what it said about Naphtali. Before, the land would be divided later in Joshua chapter 19. "Possess thou the west and the south." But the Bible says that Naphtali is going to be satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord. I believe that goes well with Genesis 49. Naphtali, wrestling, struggle, is a hind let loose. In Deuteronomy 33, the Bible says that Naphtali will be full with the blessing of the Lord. But what we notice about that verse is an important word. The Bible says Naphtali is a hind, notice, let loose. Do you catch that? Naphtali does not free himself. Naphtali does not get out of the snare. Naphtali is let loose. That means somebody else is involved in freeing Naphtali. He is struggling. He is caged in. He is ensnared. He cannot get out of this struggle until somebody lets him loose. Well, I think that is a great picture of all of our lives. When there are struggles in our lives, often we try to get ourselves out of that struggle, those struggles. We try to get ourselves out of those wrestlings, difficulties. But the truth is, often we can't do that ourselves. We must be let loose by somebody else. And I believe that that somebody else is the Lord. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Proverbs 28:25 says, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." The fear of man brings a snare. You remember what Rachel was struggling with? My sister has four boys, and I have none. She was envious, so envious at the point of dying. Inward struggle, she couldn't get herself out. And so therefore, the fear of man brings a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. When does safety happen? When does freedom happen? When does being let loose happen? When we trust in the Lord. You see, Naphtali could not get himself out. He needed somebody to let him loose. Remember those references to the hind, the hind's love, the hind's high places, position? On high places, the hinds of fruitfulness. And I'm thinking here as we think about this text, about Naphtali, the hind is now let loose. That means the hind, if she is ensnared, she cannot bring forth her young. She cannot put herself on high places. And neither can she love. But when she is loosed, she can do all those things. It's almost like there's here a picture for us of salvation, but also a picture of how we ourselves can be loosed from our struggles, from our wrestlings. You see, as we think about the hind in those earlier references, how can someone, as they think about this life, who is involved in this life in a rat race and says, "Well, I'm struggling with this, and I'm struggling with love for my wife, or my love for my husband, or love for my children, or I'm struggling with the things that I'm supposed to be. And to be honest with you, I don't feel like my life is on a mountaintop. I feel that I'm afflicted. I feel that I'm down in the valley." The truth, I believe, that is the result of that is because we are struggling with something. Often, our circumstances, our fear, our struggles imprison us. And often, because of that, we ensnare ourselves, or we are ensnared by somebody or something else. And therefore, just as the hind, we cannot do what God wants us to do. And so therefore, we have to be let loose. Satisfaction comes. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Remember, he said, "Take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, when we are struggling is when we are attempting to deliver ourselves or to try to wrestle in our own strength. And the truth is, we can only be let loose by somebody else. And that's the Lord. Which brings us to the third thing. Not only do we see his struggle, we see his satisfaction, but thirdly, we see his speech. Notice with me, the Bible says, "Naphtali is a hind let loose," and here is what comes out of that. He, now that's as a result of being let loose, "He giveth goodly words." He giveth goodly words. Well, I would say that if you think about it in terms of the hind, I remember looking at that picture of that deer who was struggling. You could see that the deer was in this, just completely in panic, utterly confused. But as soon as that deer was released, as soon as that deer was free, it was almost like a sigh of relief. I'm free. You could almost put words in the deer, like, "Thank you for those policers escorting me out the door." I think about our salvation. The Bible teaches us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have passed from death unto life. We were bound by sin, by the chains of sin, headed to a devil's hell because of our ungodliness and wickedness. And we cannot get ourselves out of the dominion of sin in our lives until Jesus Christ came in and let us loose. And now we could live, and we understand what love is about, and we understand what fruitfulness is about. And we understand as the hind what it means to be on a high place, because that is where God brings us up. Even though we may be in the valley of affliction, God brings us up and he places our feet on high places where we are designed to be. But that only happens with God's help. You see, we are all of us are Naphtali. Can't get out of the snare until somebody let us loose. That is true of salvation. But I think for the life of the Christian, it is also true of temptation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape." Did you get that? Escape. In this life, how are we let loose from temptation? How can we escape? With God's help. That's how. God is the one who frees us from us going down the path of unrighteousness, going back to the path of succumbing to temptation. Psalm 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. You know what that means? That you and I, we can deliver ourselves out of affliction. When there is struggle in ourselves, we have to stop looking at our own strengths and our own selves and say, "You know what? I can get myself out of this. I can change my spirit. I can change my mind." No, you cannot. You need God's help. He is the one that will deliver. You go with me to Psalm 23, if you please. Psalm 23, this is certainly a familiar psalm. I know we've been making a reference to the hind, but in Psalm 23, we find the reference to sheep. And notice with me, Psalm 23, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We think about the shepherd, and what does the shepherd do? He cares for the sheep. The shepherd is the one who guides the sheep where they need to go. There's the illustration we find in the New Testament. If one of the sheep goes astray, the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes to look for that one sheep. That one sheep may have broken a leg, may be stuck somewhere. The sheep is lost. The sheep cannot find his way home. He is struggling. He is stuck. He doesn't know where to go until the shepherd shows up. And the sheep who is ensnared by his own doing, by his own foolishness, because he took his eyes off of the shepherd, is always taken out of his struggle by the shepherd. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He, the shepherd, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I want you to see here and maybe picture and correlate the hind that is ensnared, can't get out, in the valley of affliction, cannot be delivered until somebody comes. And the Bible says here, "Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death," what does he say? "Thou art with me." Now, I know we use that passage to talk about when somebody passes into eternity, but that the direct application of the psalm is in for this life. When we go through the valley of affliction, when we go through difficulty, where is the comfort? How can we be delivered from that? And if we look at the references to the hind, when it is mentioned by the psalmist, he says, "We are in affliction, but God has set my feet as the hind's feet upon high places while in affliction." And so here, while we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with us. You know what that means? While we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, because the Lord is with us, we are actually on high places. He says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." You see, God is the one who delivers from the enemies. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And here it is, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now notice he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now do you mean that means through the valley of the shadow of death? That's exactly what he means. All the days of my life, the Lord will be with me. And I believe as we think about Naphtali, all that Naphtali can do is give goodly words. Just like the psalmist here in Psalm 23, who recognizes that although he is in the land of the affliction, although he is going through the valley of the shadow of death and affliction, he's looking to God. And truly, because he's looking to God, his feet are on high places. And I believe this truth is for all of us. Naphtali, wrestling, struggling, is a hind let loose. Whatever you're struggling with, it could be sin that you're trying to get rid of in your life. I can tell you, I'm going to tell you who can loosen you from that: the Lord. If there's anger and animosity towards someone in your life, I can tell you who can loosen you from that: the Lord. If there's bitterness in your life and you're struggling with that bitterness in your life, I can tell you who can deliver you from that: the Lord. He can loosen you. And I believe that when we are loosened, as we think about the hind, what happens when we are loosened? I'll tell you what happens. We love as we ought, just like the hind. We are set up on high places, just like the hind. And we are fruitful, just like the hind. You see, if we never let loose from bitterness, all that is happening inside of our lives is we are rotting. Rotting at the core. But when God delivers us from that and lets us loose from that, then we will become fruitful. Naphtali is a hind let loose, and because of that, he giveth goodly words. You see, as God's people, we should be able to rejoice that first of all, we have been let loose from the condemnation of sin and death. But also as Christians, we can rejoice today. Thank God. And that's, by the way, we ought to always do that. Whenever we are delivered from temptation, we ought not to walk around and say, oh, look at what I've done. We say, thank God. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. When you've been angry for a long time and you've recognized that anger has not helped you one bit and you've asked God to forgive you, God has loosened you from that anger and you feel a whole lot better. Bitterness, same thing. Whatever it is in your life, God can loosen us. So the question this evening is very simple. Are you struggling? Whatever it is, are you struggling with something? The Lord can satisfy because He can let you loose. And then the only thing you can do is praise His name because of what He's done in your life. And so may the Lord help us. Again, the reference in Deuteronomy 33:23, and of Naphtali He said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord. And may the Lord help us to be full of the blessing of the Lord.